Now we're going to look at the readings of this sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. They're challenging. They're all about sickness and leprosy, at least the first and the gospel. And they lead us to think of many things: the power of our Lord to heal, the need for compassion, and the mystery of suffering. And then the psalm does a beautiful job, Psalm 32, at least the whole psalm, in this regard. So we'll start with the text in Leviticus. Huh? And Adonai said to Moses and to Aaron, if someone has on his skin, and now, of course, we've got vocabulary troubles, because these are not words that you find often in the Hebrew text, you see. He has a scab or a pustule or a blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy. Now, if you go read any good article on leprosy, you can Google, up comes Wikipedia, anything like that. You'll understand, for us, leprosy is Hansen's disease. But lepra, which is a Greek word, covers all sorts of skin diseases, and begins to be later on in the Septuagint sort of specified. But remember, medical science wasn't then what it is now. They can speak of the wall of a house having this sort of blotch or this sort of, you know, it's fungus there, you know, it's, but whatever it is, it's no good. But in other words, things can have leprosy, not in the strict technical sense of the term, but in a extended sense of the term. And the priest has to come check out the house and so forth, as he has to do with the person. So, see, he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of the priests among his descendants. If a man is leprous, and unclean. Now, you see, the word is tsaruach, which means blotched. It doesn't mean leprosy in this very specific sense of the term. But, in fact, it may be that this, our technical understanding didn't even exist in Israel at this time. But they had different kinds of skin diseases, and some of them were contagious. And so you had to be careful. So if a man is leprous and unclean, because he's leprous, the priest shall declare him unclean by reason of the sore on his head. Now, this is terrible suffering. He's cut off from his family, his village. He has to stay outside the village. Nobody else wants to get this, whatever it is. And the priest has to watch it. He watches it for a week, then he watches it again. And whether he can come back to the village or not. Some of these things are healed. Some of them aren't. Even Hansen's disease now is kept under control by good medicine. That only in the last century or less. What is the point here? Somebody is blighted, and therefore they can't blight everybody else. So for the good of the community, you see, the man who bears the sore of leprosy, now you understand what I'm saying about leprosy, because it's used in all the translations from the Greek word lepra, we keep it. Shall keep his garments rent and his head bare, shall muffle his beard and cry out, unclean, unclean. How would you like to have to do that? Tame, tame, unclean. What would happen to you every time you saw somebody, unclean, unclean, get away from me, I'm unclean. What a suffering. What an exclusion from the community. When we read, as we will in a few minutes, the gospel account of Jesus' reaction, it says he got mad, he got angry to see his brother in this situation. Of course I can heal you. Here, go back to your family. Show it to the priest. Go on back to your family. That's only showing us what he wants to do in regard to our sin. Of course I can heal you of your sin. Of course I can forgive you. I can purify you of your sin. Come, join the church. Join the family. Come back. And so, he shall dwell apart, making his abode outside the camp. So you see, we're confronted today in this gospel with the mystery of human weakness, sickness, limitation, loneliness, exclusion, all of these human realities. Now, what is the response? Well, one that happens to you, as I'll say in the psalm here in a minute, it's compassion, it's love, it's prayer. And, you know, thank God for the gift of medicine. But if you transpose that to another level, where do you see very leprous people spiritually? Abortionists. Child traffickers. They are being eaten alive by a fungus and they don't even know it. And that could wind them up in an eternal damnation. What can we do about that? Pray for one thing. Pray for wisdom. Pray to how to approach them. Now, I want to go over Psalm 32. That's all there is to our reading today. It's to confront us with this reality and prepare us to understand the gospel. Now we have this Psalm 32, which is a marvelous psalm. It's a psalm telling us what to do when you're a mess and you don't know what's wrong. So it starts off, you see, Asherei Adam, lo yachshov Adonai lo avon. Blessed, Asherei, blessed. That, you know, that means not lucky and not happy. I think even today they translated, where is that? Ah, no, they didn't. But blessed. But the Beatitudes, happy, happy, happy. No, it's not happy, it's blessed. Another question. We don't need it for today. Okay. See? Now, what it says is, whose fault is taken away, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord imputes not guilt. Those three things. But there's a fourth one, and it is, in whose spirit there is no guile. What has it got to do with the other three? Now the psalmist is going to tell you. See, now they've only taken certain parts of the text for our psalm, but you miss the punchline that way, so I'm going to go and do it this way. You see, why is there deceit in our spirit? Because we're all liars. We go around pretending we're holy when we're not. We're liars. As long as I kept silent, my bones wasted away. This is not on our, for the liturgical text, but we need it to understand the psalm. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength withers as in dry summer heat. In other words, I just got sicker and sicker and sicker. Then I declared my sin to you. My guilt I did not hide. I said, I confess my faults to the Lord, and you took away the guilt of my sin. So what was his problem? Unrecognized, unacknowledged sin. You see, that's where we're all liars. We go around acting as though we're just dandy and never really facing our sin. So the Beatitude, you see, the fault is taken away, the sin is covered, and guilt is not imputed. Blessed that person. Ashere that person, right? Blessed. And then the last one, in his spirit there is no guile. Because when they're all forgiven, what do I have to lie for? When I know I'm forgiven, I can look everybody in the eye. Not because I'm so great, so holy, so whatever. No, I'm forgiven. That's why. And that's how we get cured of our liar syndrome. And then we don't have any guile. Guile is that I'm playing a role and I'm not acknowledging my sin. Well, what can happen if you do that enough? You get sick. So the help is, you see, this beautiful psalm. When I acknowledged my sin, you see, then you took it away, you see. Then you took away the guilt of my sin. So then he goes on in the psalm. We don't have this part in our liturgical text, but we need it. Thus should all your faithful pray in time of distress. Something's gone wrong. First thing to do is look and say, well, am I sinning? You know, everybody thinks I'm great. It means I'm a hypocrite on top of everything else. In my spirit, there's guile. I'm a great guy. And inside, I have unrepented sin that I've never looked at, never acknowledged. I acknowledge it. Whew, I'm no longer a liar. Now I can be real. That's the wonderful thing. Do you see underlying the sacrament of confession, why it's a healing sacrament? You know, as a priest, if someone hadn't been to confession for 12, 20 years, they make a good confession, they receive the Lord's forgiveness, and they walk out of there a new person, able to look people in the eye and to not have guile. So, you are my shelter from distress. Keep me with safety. You ring me round. And then he's going to tell everybody else. I will instruct you and show you the way you should walk, give counsel and watch over you. And this is the Lord speaking. Do not be senseless like horses or mules, with bit and bridle, that their temper is curbed, else they will not come to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but love surrounds all those who trust in the Lord. Because even when we acknowledge our sins, which is just the grace of God, you see, then we say what? I trust you. You're going to forgive my sins. You see, as one retreat master once told us, when we confess our sins like that, we appeal to our Lord's professional instincts, because he's a professional forgiver. And so we go right to him, see? And so the two things we have in this first section we've been looking at is disease and freedom. Now, no one is supposed to make a connection like, this fellow has leprosy, he must have sinned. It's not true. But there is a deep connection between honesty and vigor. But I mean, look at St. Therese. She died of tuberculosis. Was she hiding sin? No. She was carrying sin for the world. She was the first, not the first, but one of the, an atheist. And her spirit was total darkness, except for one point. There was a burning, burning light, like a pilot light. So hot you couldn't get near it. And that illumined and carried her whole being. All right? That's the end of that then.